Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. All right, before we get to Tony, our play-by-play call of the day. We think. We hope. Just hit it on the side.
1-0 swing and another drive out to left field. Watch this one go. That's gone. Also in to the second level for the second time today. Jose Abreu strikes again. A two-run homer. He's driven in five runs today. And the Astros absolutely running away with this thing now 9-1 in the ninth inning.
Well, you know what? He had it. Okay, he had a mediocre season this year with the Astros. Now he comes up big here. That was Dave O'Brien on ESPN Radio. It is always great as we go to beautiful Frisco, Texas, to the star, no less, and bring in my good friend, Tony Knopp. Hello, sir.
Hello, hello. From Texas, yeah. Enjoyed the Rangers last night. Looking forward to Rangers and Astros. That's going to be a rivalry.
That will be a rivalry series that'll be fun to watch. Two very talented teams.
Tony and I, the Twins, though.
And Tony and I, by the way, are already making Big Ten football and basketball plans.
So. Oh, I can't wait. This is going to be so much fun. It's so much more exciting to go to Happy Valley than to Corvallis.
Oh.
Nothing against Oregon State, but I'm glad we're not going back to Corvallis or Pullman.
Yeah. Exactly. Now, and we say that with all due respect to two fine institutions and communities.
Yes, exactly.
All right, so we are at a point now. We've talked about TV contracts extensively. You're sitting there in an advisory role. You understand how tickets operate, what interest happens to be with ratings. I've got three properties on the table. I have the NBA, I have the college football playoff, and I have Notre Dame football. How would you rank them in order of what a priority should be for a network in terms of bidding?
Oh, man. It's so hard to know because I was just reading today and talking to some people who know things at Major League Baseball that there's a chance that the NFL might buy ABC. And wow. Because there's a concern about the broadcast rights and how there's cord cutting happening, and that's NFL's cash cow right now. It comes down to what a network is really looking to achieve. The NBA has a very young demographic, and they have a lot of content, which is kind of the old model of sports media, right? It's how ESPN came to fruition, where they really were just trying to fill 2 hours at a time, but satellite dish was so cheap, they gave it to them for 24, and they filled it with wherever they could. The most powerful of the three is very clearly college football playoffs. Nothing drives tribalism and drives viewership like football, and college football is second only to the NFL right now. And what's really interesting is there was a concern, and we talked about this years ago, about how the next generation might not be attending football games or caring as much. Remember, we talked about how Michigan's attendance was down during the Rich Rod era and the like. And with NIL, the transfer portal, and just the way that these schools have leveraged social media and the power of brand, like, you know, Coach Prime is doing, that is completely flipped on its head. Mm-hmm. College football numbers are through the roof this year, especially when it comes to viewership and what people are watching. So it's really a question of how long a deal do these properties choose to strike? And as we've talked about, because if you strike a short-term deal and bet on yourself, you hope it doesn't backfire. So that sometimes leads to, you know, maybe we take the long-term deal and take the money. But if you do that, you could end up like the ACC with ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
Or end up like, you know, what the Pac-12 did with Fox.
Right.
Whereas, you know, the SEC and the Big Ten, you know, they bet on themselves. They gave themselves a short enough time span that, hey, if this grows exponentially, we're going to be able to double down on that. And that's what I'm most interested about with CFP in particular, and then the NBA behind it. Because the NBA has changed a few times over the past few years.
That's right.
How much are they going to leverage, you know, the value of a dollar now versus we go back to the negotiating table in 3 years, 5 years, 7 years.
Well, and this guy, we were talking, boy, years ago, we were talking about size of facility. And Buffalo at one point, Orchard Park, was an 80,000-seat stadium. Their new stadium they're going to build is 65. This is a trend you and I talked about 10 years ago, that you'll see smaller stadiums, that way tickets are more in demand than before. But you're right. The ratings are up across the board for everybody. But I also find it interesting that the viewership on Amazon Prime is up too. What indicator is that?
You know, it's interesting that we still don't really know how to track ratings on Amazon Prime and online. We've got an idea of what we think is a viewership number, but this is what led you and I to spend 3 hours talking about the writer's strike and what what actually ended up happening there. Big news at our way. It comes down to this idea that cord cutting was going to wreck the broadcast networks and that sports was the last thing that was going to hold it together. And it's proving to be true. Sports is actually getting more popular. As cords are getting cut, people are moving more towards sports. So that's why you see Apple being really aggressive, and they're saying they might put $2 billion into their next deal, which $2 billion for Apple is pocket change, right?
Exactly.
And it's not a surprise that Amazon and Apple and the others are getting into this, because it's really the last bastion of viewership is this live event that people are interested in. So, you know, and it's interesting you talk about the size of the stadium and how it's kind of gone both ways. You know, everybody has built smaller stadiums, but because of it, now they're saying, at least people that I know that are in charge, that the World Cup finals are going to be in Dallas, not in New York or Los Angeles, because Dallas has a big enough stadium and they have a big enough security fence that they can put around it.
They can get over 90,000 in that building because they can move stands around in there that people don't realize.
Yeah. And so, because you would think, you know, globally, it's got to be New York or Los Angeles, right? You got a $5 billion stadium in Los Angeles, and then New York is New York. But it sounds like it's almost a sure thing it's going to be a Jerry World.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
But good for Jerry, right?
No. Hey, no. Hey, look, it's his place. That's his money. Just like it's Robert Kraft's money at Gillette Stadium. It's not, Jerry Jones is not out there, to his credit, he probably took infrastructure money. To make sure that, you know, he had four-lane roads going from Globe Life Park over to his place. But that's his money that he put in there.
Oh, he just expanded his internal parking lot because he's got more grandkids. And fun fact, you know, I'm just bringing it up because I'm here and I've seen it. You know, Cotton Bowl has been a partner of ours for a very long time.
Right.
He actually has his own suite that you always see him on TV, but he actually has an elevator in that suite in the back that goes up to a bird's nest that's a private room just for him to get away from people to watch the game when it gets tight.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole thing is built around Jerry. It's a toy store.
Oh, no. I did the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah.
And when we were there...
Best broadcasting setup there is. You got the best seats there is for broadcasting.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Okay. Here's one of the, no big deal things to most people, but they actually have a bathroom in the back of the booth. Okay. So Brad Sham and I were talking about it. Brad says, I know we're at the goal line, Steve, because we had the Cowboys booth.
Yep.
He says, and I talked to Jerry, and he said, Brad, I love you, but I need to sell that stuff at the 50-yard line.
Yep, that's what it's here for, and that's what we're talking about. Smaller stadium, more hospitality, more corporate dollars. I mean, what they're realizing on the team side, and we're going back to our media point, is that there's certain ways that you make dollars. You know, you have your ticket sales, you have your sponsorship sales, you have your hospitality sales. You don't need as many seats to do that, and then you have the revenue and the media rights. And that's the concern with the NFL, is that media rights is such a massive part of the NFL.
Right.
And what Bob Iger's doing with selling off ESPN and having all of these different suitors coming in, including the NBA, it causes some concern. Right. This is how you're making your money. So it's going to be so fascinating, because everything we've known to be the norm is not the norm anymore. We don't really know how many people are watching on the streaming services, but we know the streaming services are more powerful with the demographic that's coming up, the 13 to 25 year olds, which are the ones that are going to, you know, we're going to sell to advertisers over the next 5, 7 to 10 years. And that's the TV deals we're talking about, right? It's always interesting, because when you're a listener and you hear it and you think, I don't really care about the term of a TV deal. But then you start to put into perspective that, well, that TV deal takes us in 5 years from now, and the person they're going to be selling to is currently a freshman in high school.
Right.
It matters, right? And it matters quite a bit.
And this is where...
Otherwise, you end up like the ACC.
This is where the 18 to 34 comes in. That's why when you're, if you are potentially skewing younger, so that's the NBA deal, and in some part that's the college football playoff deal, this is where MLS has done well because they do well with the 18 to 34 market, and it's not talked about often enough.
No, they do fantastic with that market, and baseball's doing better with that market this year all of a sudden, which nobody saw coming.
Right.
I mean, 2 years ago, was baseball is going to die. It's all old people that watch it. And now, all of a sudden, they made a bunch of changes. Attendance is up 9.8% this year across the board, which is egregious, and people that are younger are watching it. So MLS, there's a reason Apple did the MLS deal. There's a reason Apple backed Messi on this. They know what they're doing, right? And they know that, you know, eventually they're going to build this up and be, you know, look, it's the media capital of the world. It's a matter of time before we get to the point where the infrastructure over here is strong enough to support that league in the way it needs to be supported.
Mm-hmm.
And they know what they're doing when it comes to, you know, people coming up and playing the game. I mean, soccer participation is higher than any other sport, while football participation has dropped.
Right.
So there's conversations about all of it, but what's the most fascinating about what you said is what are the, how do you rank the three TV deals right now? Right now, CFP, then NBA.
Yep.
But 10 years from now, who knows?
Right, who knows? Exactly.
Doing all the right things.
See, that's what I want to see when the World Cup comes here. What does that then do to the pecking order that we're talking about now? Is the World Cup the fulcrum that launches soccer or whatever to a point where it becomes a must-have property in the country?
Right. It launched MLS the first time in 94. MLS came out of the 94 World Cup. But now it's an actual league, right? It's a real league with a lot of people paying attention. The Chicago Fire, Messi himself sold out Chicago Stadium with 60-something thousand fans.
Right.
Right. And they even said, we'll refund you if he doesn't play. He didn't play. But it's changing everything by bringing these international stars in, and then you can eventually build your national stars and go from there. But it's really fascinating to look at because the amount of money that pours into sports, you know, you talk to people who are involved on the Commander sale, which there really wasn't another bid. So Jeff Bezos never really got involved in that. I know the bankers who were on that deal. So what's happening is they're saying, okay, well, the money has to eventually stop, but there's the problem, Steve, is there's too much money. Because now the leagues are allowing private equity to get involved. They're allowing investment groups to buy teams. They keep waiting for this quote-unquote bubble to pop, and it's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger.
Well, we know with the Pac-12, and of course it all fell apart. And so now this story goes, and was it a professor from Stanford, something like that? He valued the league at $50 million per school. And you're like, okay.
You want me to drag Stanford? Because I'll do it right now. You mean the institution that turned down 75% of their perfect SAT scores because they're so good and they have such a great graduate school of business, they just got outmaneuvered by literally every single school in the Big Ten and all the others that moved to the Big 12. Like, you're supposed to be the center of the business world where all these great minds come from, and you got left behind.
Yeah. Because,
like, talk about a misstep on the most public stage.
Yeah.
Like, how is that not embarrassing? You're writing case studies on how to run business. Now, I have nothing against Stanford. I'm an SC grad. I got into Stanford. I grew up near there.
Yep.
But I find that hilarious.
I did as well. But in reality, what did the Big Ten move do to really essentially save the future for USC, UCLA, Oregon, and Washington?
Yeah. We talked a couple of years ago about the possibility of USC going independent.
Yep.
Right?
Independent. That's right.
That's growing more difficult. When you talk about Notre Dame football, right? That is an institution that is, as much as they're a USC rival and they're playing each other this weekend, USC's not on that level when it comes to the national exposure. They're not the team of the Northeast. They don't have the history. They have a lot of history, but not as much as Notre Dame. They had to align with a super conference at some point, and all these super conferences are aligning with the college football playoff. We all know this. And it's becoming the Super League, which is what it should be and what it has to be. I think that USC and UCLA were going to find a strong home either way. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
I think Oregon and Washington, who you pointed out, those are the ones that are the bigger concerns.
Right.
You know, the public university that is UCLA has so much story depth with the basketball program.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But Oregon and Washington, you know, public schools really just came to prominence in Oregon in the last 25 years. UW was much more prominent in the 90s than they have been until now. They got Penix playing quarterback there, who I don't know how he's still playing quarterback. I feel like he was Indiana's quarterback 9 years ago.
Yeah. You have no idea how many Michael Penix Day games I've done. I've done plenty.
Oh, how old is he at this point? Every time he's on the TV, I think I watched him beat Penn State
in
the 2020 COVID season.
Yeah, I think he's older than Zach Wilson. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. It's crazy. But it saved sports at those institutions. And here's what people don't understand. When I say it saved sports at those institutions, sports at Stanford and Cal are dead. Stanford mm-hmm. and Cal are now Olympic sports schools,
right.
Which is great. I mean, that's what the origination of university sports was, and that's what they kind of want to be. They're going to be really good at track and swimming and, you know, those sorts of things. But mm-hmm. when it comes to revenue generation, basketball and football, they will be off the map in the next 5 years. They just will. They will be mm-hmm. as competitive at football as Vanderbilt is, and we won't hear about them in basketball.
Right.
Because it's very difficult to recruit on the West Coast, and now you're competing with four schools that are playing in the Big Ten,
right.
and your pitch is we're in the ACC from the Bay Area. This doesn't work.
Is it your sense, and this is something we won't know until they actually send them out, but the Big Ten, you know, and it's going to depend on who it is, but when Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State go out there, it's not that USC will sell out, because they will. I mean, when Penn State goes out there next year, that's going to be a sellout.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Can they sell out UCLA?
Yes. But more importantly, it's not about selling out the building. It's about the ad.
Okay.
Right? I mean, you're limited at the Coliseum. Let's use the Coliseum as an example because they're a global brand that people know.
Right. Right?
Yep. You're limited in what you can sell, and you and I both know they're going to sell all of it.
Right.
Right? All exactly. of their suites, all of their tickets, unless mm-hmm. they get egregious on their pricing, they're going to sell that. There's no way they won't.
Right.
But you don't have a limitation on that because you're selling. It's going to be the big noon kickoff, or it's going to be the night game. You are going to sell ads for it, and those ad dollars go through the roof. Those are the ad dollars that pay for the broadcast deals. That's where the money comes. So when you bring Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State out here to the West Coast, that's the biggest differentiator for the Big Ten. It's just the TV dollars. It's going to be through the roof.
And by the way, just so everybody knows, the Big Ten, which has 9 Friday night games, will expand to 9 Friday night games next year. Now, Penn State and USC are not going to be playing on a Friday night.
No.
Just
no.
So you know, they won't be.
No.
But that does tell you about the inventory.
Maryland and Rutgers will.
Yep. Welcome to the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, exactly.
Great to
see
you.
Hey, Northwestern at UCLA. Enjoy that.
Friday. Welcome. Enjoy it. That's great.
Yeah.
It's your basic 4:30 start, 7:30 Eastern time.
They would put UCLA at Rutgers on a Wednesday night if they could.
Don't tempt them.
I know, right? Doesn't matter. Just go play. You don't have to go up against it.
Okay, I'll leave it with this final question. You're out there. You're well connected. I'm not going to get into all the connections you have there because that's not, you know, that's our business because we know that. Have they talked to you about the pluses and the minuses to them of the Big Ten just from a competition point of view?
Oh, yeah. So more importantly, it's interesting. I looked at it and thought what everybody did originally. So Mike Bone is a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. I know he's not involved anymore, but he was very involved in the move that was done.
And he's still getting paid.
He's still getting paid. Andy Enfield is a friend of mine. Andy's kids play volleyball on the same club team that my kids play on. And I know a lot of Lincoln staff. So I know them very well. And all of our belief originally was, this is just going to make it way harder to get to the playoff.
Mm-hmm.
And why are we doing this, right? The Pac-12 is a lot easier to walk through. But the recruiting impact has been significant because what I didn't realize, and this is what Mike and Lincoln's head of recruiting told me, was we're losing too many schools to the SEC, or too many kids to the SEC and the Big Ten.
Right.
So even if we can walk through the Pac-12, we're not competitive anymore. The days of Mike Williams coming from Florida to play at SC are over.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the whole purpose in all of this is, you know, look, we don't have – the Pac-12 never had the ability to have those highlight games. So USC had to play those games out of conference.
Right.
One thing USC is very proud of is they're one of only – I think maybe the only one or one of only two or three schools that has never played a Division I AA team.
Right.
Or FCS, whatever they call it now.
Yep.
They've only played top division teams.
Mm-hmm.
But they have to do that because nobody's excited about at Oregon State, you know, at Washington State, at Cal, at Stanford.
Right.
I mean, if you look at the teams that are considered middle tier in the Big Ten, their draw is significantly larger than the middle of the division out here. And that's been the biggest differential for them is recruiting. They said, watch the recruiting classes. They're going to be significantly stronger. And I kind of said, well, Lincoln was going to do that anyways. They said, no, just watch.
Yeah. And what's in the other part is the expansion to 12, and maybe we'll see to 16. You have more wiggle room to get into the playoff than you actually do now.
Once you get to 16, you'll have more. And look, I mean, these conferences are getting bigger. Big 12 is about to add Gonzaga. They're going to be the Big 17.
Yeah.
I'm certain that, you know, the Pac is looking at different options. I know San Diego State thing's not going to happen, and, you know, they're not going to be able to make that happen. But, look, we're headed the right direction, right? And this is the direction I've thought we should have been headed the whole time. I mean, you're around these kids. You see what it takes to be an athlete. I was an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, I had all this. I could share stories of cheating all day long, of
mm-hmm.
how they tried to help us with our homework and the like. But I played a non-revenue-generating sport. Right, I played basketball, I played volleyball. Volleyball didn't generate revenue. I had to do my class. These kids, the amount of work they put into this is a job.
Yeah.
And it is a major. And they are learning how to live in the real world in something that can make them money as coaches, as trainers, and all of these other things. So I'm just happy to see it going the way it's going because I think it is the right thing for the student athlete. And great, let them make money and then everybody else will make more money too. And it's funny that NIL, we thought was going to poison the well, it's actually made it more interesting.
Yeah,
it's made it easier for sleeping giants to come back, and it's created significant gains when it comes to viewership. It's all the opposite of what a lot of the purists thought.
See, this is what dinner is going to be like, all right?
Yeah,
except there's going to be hours of this. Well,
I can't wait.
Tell everybody at the Star we said hi, including the Eagles fans who listen to the show. So.
Yeah, that's right. I'm a Niner fan, so I let them know about it all day today.
Perfect, Tony.
Right.
My brother, thanks so much. Appreciate you.
All right, thank you. Go Birds. We'll talk soon.
The great Tony Knopp. The great Tony Knopp. We'll come back more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory with great warranties. Fabulous pre-owned inventory. The Sunbury Motors Guarantee and a terrific service department that takes care of everything from the routine to the difficult. They handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street at Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Time now to make a trip to the tunnel that leads to nowhere. And that is the opportunity now to hear one of Matt's complaints.
One of those tunnels to nowhere involves Mark Stoops of Kentucky, who blamed, like everybody is, blamed Georgia for, quote, buying pretty good players for as part of their success. Listen, whatever happened in the past happened in the past, and I wouldn't be surprised if certain things happened, but the fact of the matter is, this is the way we are now in the NIL world. So whatever Georgia's doing is legal, for now at least, and obviously is working. So how about we stop blaming Georgia and Alabama and all these other schools that have allegedly bought players, to which has led to their success now, and maybe get up with the times and go build their NIL funding and go out and get those players and try to compete. It's that simple. Enough with the excuses. Enough of use of blaming Georgia and Alabama and all these other schools as an excuse for something that your schools aren't doing, which is getting these players and winning. Penn State's doing it. Everybody else is starting to get up with the times now. Kentucky's got to do it now. You sure you can be a good football team? You've had some good wins in the past. Use it to your advantage. Build up NIL, and then go put your money where your mouth is. So it's getting to the point where it's not necessarily what Georgia and Alabama and all these other schools did isn't necessarily right. I don't like what they did. But guess what? It's the way things are now, and you're just wasting time using them as excuses for your misfortune and the way you're not having any success when you should be out there and just go ahead and building that NIL money and see what you can do against these big boys and trying to compete with them to get these players. So enough with the excuses. Enough of this blaming, and just go out and do what you have to do, because that's just the way college sports are nowadays, whether we like it or not. Like everyone's, I'm just tired of hearing the same old song from the same people.
Okay, so I'll jump in here now on this. That's not what he was trying to say. Not in the least. He and Kirby Smart have talked about this, about NIL. And what he was trying to do is he was trying to challenge Kentucky football fans to step up in NIL so that they can go out and compete for players, basically saying that Georgia's done a great job with NIL. Look what they've done with the money. Look what kind of product they're putting on the field. And that's what he was talking about. Right? Now, using the word bought player, or the phrase bought players, comes off as griping, but that's not what he was trying to do. If you go through the entire transcript of what he said, he then dovetails that into how Kentucky football fans need to embrace this. Kentucky football fans need to invest in NIL, that it makes a difference in closing the gap with the schools like Georgia and so forth. And that he has talked to Kirby about this. In fact, they were talking about it before the game. And when they asked Kirby Smart about it, he says, look, I've talked to him about NIL. He says, I'm not going to take the bait on this. And that was what Kirby Smart said. And there's a reason why Kirby Smart didn't take the bait on it, because he knows what Mark Stoops meant by it. He was trying to challenge his own fan base, and he was not ripping Georgia. It was actually quite the other way. He was looking at his own fan base saying, come on. Right, they're doing extremely well because, hey, you know, they're a good coaching staff and the whole deal, but they've got a financial backing that allows them to compete at the highest level when the NIL is brought up. Can we do it? Can we do the same thing? And I think that's what he was trying to do. If you read through the entire transcript, he was trying to challenge his own fan base, and using the phrase "bought," you know, the word "bought" is the part that makes it come off not quite right, but that's not quite what he meant. You hate me.
Well, it just goes to what I was talking about in the first half hour with lazy journalism. ESPN's article does not say that at all.
Yeah, I know. And because I went through and I found it. And he was challenging his own fan base. In other words, this was not one of those, we lost because they bought players. His thing was, look, they have the ability to put all that talent on the field because their NIL is just, you know, they got ahead of it. They have a passionate fan base that invests in it. Kentucky has some NIL, but not to the same level. And he's saying, basically, he says people have to invest in this in order for us to compete with the Georgias of the world who have completely invested in it. And that's the point he was trying to make to his own fan base. Now, what my explanation, after going through the transcript of it, is not as sexy as the ESPN headline, but, you know.
They might as well just be Athlon Sports, because this is exactly what I was talking about in the first half hour when they took James Franklin's scheduling comments out of context.
Everybody's assuming there's one school that he was targeting when he said that, but there are a couple of schools he was talking about there, and one is one that would surprise you as to who it is. That's not going to be up to me to say it. So, but that's this is why, for the most part, I don't pay attention to this stuff. Now, there's certain people I pay attention to. Yeah, I pay attention to the Donnie Collins and the Rich Scarcellas and the, you know. And I can go through the long list of people, the people we have on, okay? I pay attention to them all the time. And I just mentioned that they're just representative of people we've had on the show. In fact, I'm going to be on Rich's podcast tomorrow. Your name may come up and it may not be positive. So, kidding.
Oh, my almighty!
But... And there's a long list of guys. There's a lot of really great beat reporters that cover Penn State. It's a long list. So I'm probably wrong for singling out two guys. It's just the first two names that popped into my head. But there's a lot of other people that... When you watch the Major League Baseball playoffs, when ESPN had the... wild card round. Cameras moving all over the place. I mean, I'd be sitting there like all of a sudden the camera goes, well, yeah, whoa. It's like, what are we doing here? Factual mistakes being made. You kind of wonder, like, how much care is being put in to what's going on. And I have questions about it. What they're doing. And that's why Tony's comment about the NFL maybe buying ABC, I found to be just wow. You know, that they would consider it. And part of the reason they have to consider it is, you know, nobody knows where ESPN's going right now. They got too big for their britches. They kind of felt like there was no way on the face of the earth that nothing smelled when they came out of the bathroom. And they did everything with a swagger. And in the end, the swagger came back to bite them a little bit. It doesn't mean they still don't do some things well. I mean, for the most part, their game coverage is really good. The game announcers, you know, especially bringing in Buck and Aikman, and they got Mike Breen, and, you know, I mean, they have some... You know, it's Sean McDonough. They've got some top-shelf people working for them. Where it really gets exposed is when they get the championship week and they get to all the bowl games they're doing and they go down a few levels because they, you know, they get spread thin. You're like, ew. You know, Dan Shulman, another guy that's phenomenal. Fowler, phenomenal. But... You see it in some of the camera work. You see it in some of the mistakes on graphics. You see how they cover Major League Baseball with some of the ridiculous analytics stuff they come up with, which makes no sense. Makes no sense. You sit there and go, what? How does that make my viewing experience better? Like, what does that mean? And you see with all the money that they're investing in the easy shows to do, which are the ones where you're sitting in a studio just doing your deal. And I got that. You have to be able to put something together like that because they're, except for the talent, relatively inexpensive. But they'll write headlines just to get clicks. And like, this is how we're basing. And then they'll put out breaking news. And you sit there and go, that's breaking news? Really? Okay. I mean, to be honest with you, I've had a lot of questions about them for a long time now. And they don't answer any of the questions. Like, let's look at today. Stephen A. loves Cowboys 49ers ongoing beef. Okay. Our regrades are for 12 deals made in the NFL in 2022. Don't care. NBA ranking, let's see. Who are the top 50 players in the NBA and why two guards plummeted? Don't care. What surprises awaits number 100 to 51? Don't care. What are we hearing about the Giants' offensive struggles? No offense, I can see it for myself. Who are our expert picks to win the Stanley Cup, division winners, awards, and more? Don't care. NHL preview, ranking 1 to 32. Don't care. Who's climbing and who's falling in 2024 recruiting? And where does Penn State land? Not really thinking about it. I mean these are all articles.
And the Stephen A. thing is even funnier because their own NFL insider Adam Schefter just put out a tweet a little while ago that George Kittle could be fined for the NFL for that F. Dallas shirt.
Right. Okay. You create a path to the college football playoff for top contenders. Don't care. Updated bowl projections. It's October. Don't care. Are the Dodgers done? Will the Astros join the Rangers in the ALCS? How about if I just watch the game and find out for myself? Okay. Why Baltimore still has plenty to celebrate? Tim Kirchin, that's an article worth reading. Inside Washington's electric offense. I've seen it for myself. Kalen DeBoer does a good job, and he's got a quarterback that fits what he does. I got it. Stephen A. expresses concern over Zion playing in the preseason. Don't care. J.J. Watt tells Pat McAfee how impressed he is by T.J. Watt's play. Really? It's like me saying that I'm impressed with my brother doing the segment on Friday with me. Of course I am. That's my brother.
Oh, my almighty!
I mean, come on. That's my brother. Okay? Like, all these things I don't care about. Jeff Saturday, GM Bill Belichick has really hurt Coach Bill Belichick. Right. You don't need a crystal ball to know Miami is making the bottom 10 this week. Don't care. A.J. Brown among top wide receivers to downgrade. Don't care. It's like all this stuff I just don't care about. Now, Barry Melrose, tribute, yes, I care. Had a great career in hockey, unlike any other, and he was diagnosed, unfortunately, with Parkinson's, which is just awful. Miami Hurricanes loss delivers a brutal bad beat for bettors. Okay, don't care. All I care about is whether they won or lost the game. I mean, am I being too negative?
No, I agree with about 95% of all those headlines you just mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I mean, they let go of all the really, really... If this happened, not this round, okay? But the previous round of layoffs, they let go of all the guys that had journalistic chops. I mean, you're sitting there and you're trying to, like, be a part of what's going on at baseball, and you tell Jason Stark he's not needed? Really? Really? He has chops. It's like, I don't know.
Not only that, too, but probably 3/4 of these guys that you see their bylines on ESPN.com in these stories as, like, the senior ESPN writer, I don't see them at games. I don't see them on SportsCenter or anything like that the way it used to be. So I don't know who the heck any of these people are.
Yeah, I know. I don't know either. You know what my saying has always been. I think it's really important for reporters to get their hands dirty. You know, be there. You know, you may get nothing but fluff, but at least you're there and you're getting a read on something with your own eyes. You know, instead of sitting in the studio watching it on a TV set. It's just something different about actually being there and just reading it for yourself. And I think as time goes, the more you're there, you start developing some instincts as to, you know, what's going on and not going on. Robert Saleh on stopping Eagles' Jalen Hurts on Tush Push. We got to give him 11 kisses. Okay.
That's one of the most affectionate smooches of all time.
By the way, you know what Jalen Hurts is attempting to do? This is your team. You have no idea?
I can't say I've seen this yet.
Oh, you just... This is your team. How am I supposed to know more about your team than you? Joe Montana and Tom Brady are the only quarterbacks since the merger to win 12 straight road starts. Hurts has the opportunity to do that this week.
Well, I knew he tied, like, Brady and Mahomes and Manning and Brady for... most consecutive road wins this past week. I didn't realize that next one was coming, but yeah. Okay.
This is your team. Hey, golly. Now I'm going to tell you that Hal Steinbrenner had a meeting with the entire staff where he told them to check their egos in at the door down in Tampa.
Oh, now that I did see.
Right? I mean, I'm surprised you weren't invited. All right, let's
guess what? To that I say, yawn. Make some actual moves and then wake me up.
Well, you have to sit down with people first, Matt. You just don't just sit there all by yourself in the office and go, okay, we're doing this, and this. You got to sit down with everybody. It's part of the process, okay? It's October the 11th, all right? Okay, it's not March 11th. So you can talk to people. Where are we going with this? What are we doing with the roster? What are we doing with free agency? I've been quoting... the Yankees at $279 million. Actually, the payroll's $281, and the luxury tax is another $31.
Yeah, there it is.
Hey, there's what? I mean, they've made, like, a lot of, like, very expensive, wasteful moves. That when they make the moves, I sit there and go, that makes no sense. And you're saying, this guy's going to really help us. No, I don't think he's very good. And then you get the team captain complaining about stuff and defending Boone, but when Boone needed him, he wouldn't play. And I'm not being unfair when I say that. We got to make sure he's completely set. Guess what? Rome's burning. The guy that needs a bat to help you is over there with a fiddle. Okay, mirror available. mean, there are going to be two kids that are never going to say "All rise again." All right, we'll come back. I mean, because they're just there. I mean, even they're disgusted. Even they're disgusted.
That's right. Luke's even said Aaron Judge is hurt.
No, Aaron Judge is hurting you. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment and wrap it up. Tomorrow, our high school roundtable here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay.